Well, hey there. Yes, indeed. Radio fishing time again, folks. Got Captain Carl and Captain Kale with me. We got C's and K's all over the place in here. And we're going to do a little bit about... Both these guys were out on charters yesterday, and they've been doing a lot of trips on the water, and what their game plan is for today. And we're going to see how that goes out. And so let's get started.
All right.
Okay, Kale, how are you?
Off and running.
Yes.
I'm actually warm for a change. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, I got in here, and first thing I had to do was take off my jacket. It is hot.
I wouldn't go that far.
I still got two pairs of jeans on.
What is it, 67, 70 to 68 degrees?
It's getting there. It's still going to be a cold, wet ride in the boat today with all the fog we have.
Yeah, it's everybody's been hanging out. All the captains been hanging out this morning waiting for that fog to lift. It was a 28-mile-an-hour ride into work this morning. There was just no visibility at all.
Yeah.
None.
And I,
but I'm good with that.
28 miles an hour, and I had to slow down twice. Yep. I couldn't see.
Like I said, I'm fine with it. If there's fog, there's no wind.
Yeah, I don't get that. The other day it was foggy as heck, but it was windy, and I don't understand that.
Well, today there's no wind, and I'm going to take full advantage of that.
Okay. All right, Carl, you've been awfully quiet so far. What's up for you?
Oh, nothing much. Waiting for the fog to let down. So we get out there.
Now, you have an interesting charter today.
Yeah. I got Greg from the shop, and I got English John from England. That's going to be a fun, interesting day.
And you're going to try and stay in the boat, from what I hear?
Yeah. Last time I took them out, had a little incident. Rod snapped, and I had to jump in after it. But try not to do that again.
I wasn't trying to fix Kale's microphone.
I wouldn't call that a charter.
And I bent my 1992.
Number one, you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
You probably should with those two on your boat. Yeah. At least with Greg.
Yep.
I have my 1992 Fish and Frank's Grandmaster Snook Tournament pin here, which I bent trying to straighten up your microphone.
So you won that tournament and all you got was a little pin.
No, that was just a participatory pin.
Oh.
Yes, everybody
got one.
That was
before they had... printed captain shirts and stuff like that.
No, you got to, you know, when you enter the tournament, you got the little pin that says you completed so much, you know, when you did it. Everybody brought in a fish back then got one of those.
That's how old Frank is. He fished tournaments before embroidery.
I can tell you, we chiseled those on. They're little stone pins. We had the little chisel going. And, you know, it's time consuming. But back then, you know, labor was cheap, you know. So anyway, what's the game plan for today once the fog lifts? I'm hearing you guys are, both of you guys think, going south, huh?
Yeah, we're both running south. That's normal for Carl to do. I don't get south very often in the wintertime with this wind, so it's something that I like to do every chance I get, see some different water for a change.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice day for it. Sunny, bright.
Yep.
We're looking at lows in the 50s overnight now. I mean, it was in the 30s, and now they're changing it with lows in the 50s. We got Wednesday and Thursday a little splattering rain. Yeah. Gorgeous weekend coming up. Florida's really going to be the place to be. South Florida. North Florida's really going to suck.
Yeah.
If you live in North Florida, well, you ain't that bright anyway. You won't know the difference. You live north of I-4. It's just, I don't know how humans habitate north of I-4. You know, it's
Florida,
too cold.
That's Florida's Mason-Dixon line, is I-4.
Yeah. This is, you know, we're so, it's like a different country down here.
Yeah.
So we got
I think today is going to be a good day. We have the front that's rolling through tomorrow. So theoretically, today should be a good day out there. The fish should be chewing. They did okay yesterday. I caught fish. Everybody around me caught fish, but everybody was catching small fish yesterday. So I'm hoping the big ones will start to chew today.
Yeah, my dad was telling me he went out yesterday and... there was just a ton of little fish, but nothing that big.
Yeah, he found a bunch of trout in our redfish hole, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, let's see. Today, 7 o'clock, low tide, high tide around 1:30, and that's only going to be That's not even a 1.0. That's going to be tough. Well, that means there's not a lot of water. You got good water movement, but not a lot of water at the top of the high tide.
No.
Looks like about a 0.9. And 0.9 means not much water. A high tide to me is anything from 1.5 and up. And this is going to be 6 inches lower than that. So that's going to be a little tough to fish.
Yeah, especially in Turtle Bay, but it keeps a lot of traffic out of there at the same time, too.
Well, I don't think either. Carl's got wings on his. Kale's got a boat that's rather unusual because it floats in less water than it runs in.
Yeah, if worst comes to worst, so you just slow down and take it easy going through there.
Yeah, and once you're at idle, you only need, if you got 5-6 inches of water, you can go right across. Yeah.
I'm happy.
That's the nice thing about running a party barge.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that takes a monster. But we're working on getting another one of those together. What do you think of the tower on that one?
It looked pretty good. I liked it. I can't wait till it's together.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a cool boat.
Definitely.
Then we'll have Kale's boat with the T-top, the other boat with the tower. We get a little mini skiff I'm putting together. You know, it's going to be an interesting year when we get all this stuff together.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, but back to the fishing. You get back there, and you need the water to be moving. Now, it's going to be pretty slow from 1:30 to 5:30. You're not losing a lot. You're going to have to find the mouth of an opening of a bay, and I think that's why you guys are both going out there, because you got all that water on the inside that's got to come out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the narrower the bigger the bay with the narrower the opening, the more water flow is.
And there's only two places it can come out.
So I was wondering, is that why you guys are there?
Well, there's a lot of good quality fish, bigger fish holding up down there.
Yeah.
That's why the reason why I'm running down there today.
A lot of big redfish, a lot of big sheephead, a lot of big snook in there.
So they've been a little tough lately, but they should eat today.
Well, the day before the front, that's when the fish are going to bite, because we're going to get a fairly good front comes through tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so they've had that big front. They're just getting over it. They've been off their feed quite a bit. So this is a day where they should be really chewing.
Oh, yeah, they should be.
That's the theory.
Hopefully.
I'm trying to draw something out of these guys, folks. I mean, I'm sitting here. I've got a pair of tongs reaching down their throats trying to drag some information out of them, and it's not working today. I don't know what's going on. I said, guys, come on, let's do a show. Oh, okay. Well, say something. Somebody, help.
I mean, lately I've been throwing shrimp for all the redfish and snook down there, freelining or on a Rockport Rattler.
But has it been working?
Yeah, the smaller ones and the keeper ones it's been working for. Those big, oversized ones it hasn't been working for, though.
Well,
I'm going to try a big cut bait today.
That seems to be our problem, or our curse, more or less. I mean, we always end up finding these big redfish and they won't eat. I mean, how long did we chase those ones down the east side last year? 3 months?
Yeah.
And just you couldn't get them to eat. Every once in a while, get one to take a crab or something. But
Carl was talking to me about it yesterday, and everything that you guys are doing, I think, is absolutely right, except that you got to go much bigger bait. When I'm fishing those bigger fish, in order to keep the little ones off, I adjust to the size of the mouth, and I get a piece of bait that's so big they cannot eat it.
Yeah.
And let them push it around and worry it and drag it a little bit, and then that big one's going to come along and take it from them. But
and
it's just like me. I let a bunch of kids play around with all this stuff, and then eventually, you know, I mean, they're 20s, you know, they're energetic, but eventually I just wouldn't take it.
That I would have thought of that, because that's exactly what I do for the redfish in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Get those big, giant jumbo shrimp, throw them up against the mangroves, let those little mangrove snapper and pinfish start picking at it and drag it further back up into the trees for you. And sooner or later, that big redfish will smell that being chummed up by that little fish picking at it, and then they come out and smack that thing.
Yeah, it's about getting a bigger bait to them. I'm pretty sure that's the problem. The problem these guys have been having is they're catching a lot of slot fish, but they're on the small side of the slot. They can see big fish. They know those big fish are there, but trying to get them, in some way, the only way to do that is to put a big enough bait on to keep where the little ones just can't get it in their mouth. Mm-hmm. Let them push it around, drag it around, take pieces off of it, exactly as Kale said. But that's the only cure I've ever found for it.
It's always like that with the bigger fish during this time of year.
I'm going to say during almost any time of year.
They're lethargic. because of the water changes. Those old fish don't take the water temp changes as good as the little guys.
But even when you're throwing white bait, you get a ton of slot and smaller fish, but the bigger ones don't get there as fast as the little ones do. Right. Unless you get lucky and drop it right in front of his nose and he decides to eat it. That's why we fish with 14, 16-inch ladyfish, big 2-3-pound mullet, put them big baits out there where either a big snook, big redfish, big shark is going to be able to eat it. And everything else, just got to leave it alone.
Yep.
The water is very clear, so you do have to stay a little bit farther back right now, down that way.
Yeah, keeping back from your fish is critical. You need your 7.5, 8-foot rods right now.
Yep. Where full spools are real. Mm-hmm. Of line on your reels. I just spooled up 3 of them yesterday, so they'd be ready for today.
Well, the higher up on the spool it is, you're going to maybe get a wind knot or two, but the line flies farther. Yep. Comes off the spool easier. The further down into the spool it is, the harder it is for the line to get out of there. And that's why newer reels all have a dual oscillation. The spool goes out one speed, comes back a different speed to cross-wrap the line to give you that better casting. And that's what you're really going to need right now. It's those long rods, your reels a little over full line, and get that extra 10, 15 feet of cast so you can stay back there.
You're going to need it.
It helped out the other day.
Yeah? So what was going on the other day?
I mean, we were working the mangrove line with the trolling motor. I mean, we were seeing the fish, but they just weren't eating. So we finally anchored up, I mean, good 20 extra feet off the bushes and just pitched out, and we started catching them then. We just let the bait sit a little bit longer in one spot.
Yeah, it was kind of the same thing that we saw up in inside Trout Creek the last few days. You get in there, no problem on the little sheephead, no problem on the big sheephead, no problem on the little trout, no problem on the little redfish. I know there's big redfish in there. And when we left, we went down the shoreline, and sure enough, there's big redfish all over the place in there, but they wouldn't eat.
Now, I used to carry an 8-foot rod with me a lot, and that was my, and I'd put a bullet weight on there in kind of Carolina rig style, but just only about 4 inches away from my hook. And then I could put a big bait on and zing that thing. I mean, two hands overhand. When I would cast, all you'd hear is whoosh. It sound like, Star Wars.
Whoosh. Oh, yeah.
And next thing you know, it's, but I'm trying to make that, 60, 70 yard cast.
It helps out this time here.
Sometimes if you go up and you get those, get the biggest weights you can put on there, and it really doesn't hurt to put an ounce and a half, 2 ounce on. If you're throwing a half ounce in there, throw an ounce and a half.
Yeah.
And get the distance, because everybody says, well, how much weight do I need to get to the bottom? It's not about getting to the bottom. You're only in 2-3 feet of water. Everything's going to the bottom. But if you can put extra lead on there and throw it way farther, that's what's going to help you.
And a lot of people worry about the big heavy splash that it makes, too. And, I'm going to spook fish. If there's one sitting there that you pop between the eyes with your lead weight, yeah, probably.
Well, then he's unconscious and I can scoop him up.
But it's not. Yeah, but it's not like they're going to completely leave the area and never come back because, oh my God, there was a splash there.
Yeah, and I understand that one, and if I have any option, I don't want to do it. But sometimes I don't have an option.
Right.
So I go to real heavy. And why am I putting a half ounce when I can put an ounce and a half on and throw three times as far?
Yep.
I know it's not something normal charter boat captains do, but it was when I was out there on the water all the time, sometimes I had to, and it didn't make sense, but it worked.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have to sit literally, you're looking at 30, 60, 80 feet off the hole, and I'm throwing into it.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy action 8-foot rod, and both hands throwing it like a surf rod. I can put some distance on it. So, anyway.
Look, you come from Minnesota, Wisconsin area. Those guys love using big surf casting rods up there. I mean, they're using 10, 12-foot rods.
Actually, I used it in Germany. That's where I learned how to do it.
And
I was throwing for carp.
I think the whole concept is if you're not catching anything there, you can always cast to another lake.
Yeah, that's true. If you're on this lake, you're not getting it. Just cast to the next lake.
Yeah.
But, no, I actually learned that in Germany, fishing for carp, because carp fishermen actually are
and it's popular over there.
Oh, carp
fishing. It's really the only thing they have to catch. But
oh no, we caught trout and northern pike, and we they have rainbow trout, German brown trout. They've got a nice selection of trout. They've got a walleye type fish. They've got a lot of different stuff
but
there.
Carp.
Carp is
the
biggie.
Popular one.
That is the biggie. If you catch a big carp, you're like
supreme. If you pick
supreme.
Up a fishing magazine from over there, it is 80% carp.
Yeah, it's bass. Like the United States do bass. But when you're there with these carp fishermen and every movement is so precise and everything, it's, but that's where I learned to
they
fish
put
those long runs.
So much effort into a fish that we put a dough ball on the hook, set it in front of its face, and hold on.
That's the same thing they do, except
they do it with more precision and prestige.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's actually amazing. It's pretty cool. But anyway, back to this. But that's where I learned how to use those long rods was carp fishing in Germany. So yeah. it was a lot of fun. But it really did teach me the difference between how I would cast here or how I had always cast to getting that extra rod by extending your arms and really getting into it. But it's hopefully one day we'll get some video about all that. And I'd really like to make another trip back to Europe. I kind of miss that. But you, in order to get a fishing license, A, you cannot. It's illegal to fish if you're not 12 years old. Kids are not allowed to fish. You have to take a class and be able to identify species, breeding, and all this. You're not allowed to catch and release. Absolutely illegal. Live bait's illegal. Catch and release is illegal. All these things. The U.S. thinks it's, you know, this is the way things are because we do it in the United States, but there's this big wall around the United States. Watch the Weather Channel. Canada doesn't exist. Mexico doesn't exist. It only goes to Texas and, you know, Maine, and it doesn't really go beyond that. The world just fades away. But in a lot of places, they have a, and they consider them the best ideas, just the same way as we consider our ideas the better ideas. But, no, it's, I was lucky enough to do a lot of traveling and learn a lot of different cultures because I was actually there working, not as a tourist. So, but anyway, on to back to the U.S. and our fishing here. I think it's going to be a great day for fishing. If you guys, if this comes up on the internet quick enough for you guys to hear it this morning and you have some time this afternoon, get out Hog Island, the Micah River. In either side of the Micah River, the Hog Island side, the West Wall side of the Micah River, there's I forget the name for it, but there's a name for that flat. And then as you go up Trout Creek, Oyster Creek, all the way down to Cape Hayes, it's going to be skinny water. Don't get trapped back there. But once the water starts getting down, get out onto the bar, good cast away from the bar, and just kind of idle along and watch for the potholes and see which grass things move.
Yeah, exactly.
Look for the grass that's actually, okay, something happened. That grass patch moves over to the next sand hole, and those are redfish. A lot of trout over there on top of the bar.
A lot of trout. A lot of trout.
But cast in front of you as you go.
Yep.
So, anything else to add today, guys?
No.
No, not that I can think of.
Well, this was kind of a random generated thing here, but
They usually are.
They usually are, yes. I know. But don't worry, guys. We will get better. We're on our last days with the old server. Looking forward to tomorrow, Wednesday. We will be up in full swing again and a little more organized. Let's put it that way. This has been a real tough week or two trying to get everything back. So, anyway, this is Fish and Frank. That's
it takes time and patience, which Frank does not have.
Yes, that's true. Well, that's Captain Carl over there, all the way on the other mic. Captain Kale in the middle here, and this is Fish and Frank on the other end of all this. And thank you guys for being part of Radio Fishing. We'll see you on the next one.